Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Aside from Jake, not one of them was, I don't know, real. I'm not sure who we can trust on the station at this point.
Do any of them know you're suspicious?
Probably. I've asked a few questions, been a few places that might have tipped them off. They'll be keeping close tabs on me. I'd called Starfleet, but what do I tell them? My wife doesn't seem like my wife. Sisko's been making security arrangements without consulting me.
They might even call Commander Sisko and start asking questions about you.
Well, that's what I was afraid of.
Now, when are the Paradas due?
38 hours.
I don't want them coming anywhere near this place until we get this cleared up.
Agreed.
Go on about your business. Don't do anything to get their attention. In the meantime, I'll do some investigating. If I can confirm your suspicions, we can go to Starfleet and the Bajoran authorities at the same time.
I'm glad you're back, Odo.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
Okay, how about this? You want to get the old podcast started?
Yeah, I think so.
About 10 minutes of penis talk. Now we can transition into regular old podcast talk.
Just got to get it out of our system so people don't know our secrets, okay. Secrets.
Nothing disgusting about it.
Penises are gross, and I'm gross. You need to whip my penis and balls to make me feel less gross.
Okay. All right. That's a whole nother conversation.
That's a different podcast.
Save that for the eventual Patreon. In the meantime,
it's not even funny anymore.
In the meantime, we're going to go ahead and call this the beginning. Episode 100. Dan is in a childish mood tonight, which is great.
It's because I got the bubbly.
The bubbly bounce.
Is that a new form of bubbly?
It's got caffeine.
Well, I thought the buzz had caffeine. Does the bubbly bounce have cocaine in it?
I thought it was called bubbly buzz, but I was wrong.
I think it's bounce.
It is called bubbly bounce.
They only had that one flavor.
I see it on the can. All right. It says bounce.
So. This is episode 142.
I'm certain I can read.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And we welcome you to that podcast. You are welcome. And
thank you.
And what I want to do is I want to take us all back in time.
Oh, no. What's happening?
Use your mental powers. Use your mental imagination. You can do this even if you have aphantasia. Even if you suffer from aphantasia, you can imagine the concept.
That's where you can't watch Fantasia without blacking out.
Yeah. Let's go back in
time.
That
movie's creepy, by the way.
Yes, it is. We're going to go back in time.
There's partial frontal nudity.
We're going to go back in time. To the beginning of this podcast. we're going to go back in time to February 1994.
What was happening in February of 1994?
I don't recall. I put something out there and Dan picked it up.
Yep. Sprinkled it.
That's good podcasting.
I swept it up into my mouth.
I was on the cusp of turning 14 years old. I was still recovering from a torrid summer camp affair from the previous year.
Okay.
Mentally recovering from that. Okay. U.S. Olympic figure skater Nancy Kerrigan had only just the prior month in January been attacked by Shane Stant at the behest of Jeff Galooly, who was the ex-husband and compatriots with her rival Tanya Harding. 1994.
Yeah. I was thinking of Carrie. I thought I was thinking Carrie Strug for some reason. I was like, what? I didn't remember this part of Carrie Strug.
That would be a totally separate Olympic related anecdote. Different year entirely, in fact. Nelson Mandela would soon be elected president of South Africa.
Oh, right.
O.J. Simpson was still most famous for starring as Nordberg in the Naked Gun movies in February of 1994.
Kimmy Gibbler was still going strong as a character on Full House.
Ooh.
Right, the original run of Full House, not the reboot.
I always enjoyed Kimmy Gibbler. Yeah. One of my favorite parts of Full House.
Yeah. It's a good character.
Most important, though, of course, is that Deep Space Nine aired its seminal second season sci-fi, semi-noir, semi-spy thriller.
The alliteration
mess
continues.
With Miles episode Whispers.
Whispers.
And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight.
And it's not even just messing with Miles. It's messing with... Should we spoil it?
I mean, okay. I don't know where you're going with this. First of all,
what are you going to spoil?
That people have... We warn people in the description of the podcast that they should watch the episode prior to the podcast.
But we didn't watch them watch it.
We did not watch them watch it.
Yeah. Watch it.
So, okay. What were you going to spoil? You're talking about they're messing with Clone Brian?
Yeah, Faux Brian.
Oh, you're calling him Faux Brian?
And you're calling Clone Brian? Clone I like Brian. That. I like but we all got something. What are you going to call him, Jesse? Zone Brian?
Zone Brian?
Grown Brian? It's you, Julian! I'm so grumpy! Yeah, so grumpy throughout this whole episode. Every man I say is mad,
except
when I'm talking to Cisco, and I'm like,
So, yes.
I think he was still suspicious of Cisco.
He was, but he wasn't like, Julian, fuck you!
Yeah,
I like your. I believe it's your O'Brien impersonation.
I'm trying not to do any kind of accent.
Grab Quark.
Trying not to do a whimsical Irish racist Irish accent, leprechaun accent.
Exactly, leprechaun. You said that.
Well, because it wouldn't sound like Colm Meaney anyway.
Right. Yeah. Jesse, you're right.
He's no leprechaun.
He laid his hands on Quark, which was like mucho fucked up.
I know.
It was Boku fucked up. Like, so, you shouldn't be laying your hands on people like
too much
that.
Coffee, man.
Let's put it, Jamaican
blend.
Much coffee. This guy's got too much of the bubbly buzz, bubbly bounce.
You know, he ordered 4 Jamaican blends, double strong, double sweet.
Yeah.
That's his favorite.
That was part of the problem, I think.
He was getting a little torture. Right. Okay, we're going to get to that. Let's give a brief outline of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Whispers. But first, we'll give our overall impressions. Then we will talk about the sci-fi twist to the classic paranoia storyline. We'll also talk about how this probably, you could argue that this is one of the first Mess with Miles, O'Brien Must Suffer type episodes.
O'Brien Must Suffer.
And so we can discuss a little bit about that. And I'm also curious about your thoughts about whether or not this story may have worked better if it were sort of later in the series when the characters are settled in a little bit more. And then finally, I mean, we'll discuss other stuff along the way, I'm sure. But the other thing I wanted to touch base on is whether or not there's anything the crew could have done differently to maybe not freak out the old Clone Brian. Right. Mm. So that's the outline for this evening. We'll see how closely we can follow it.
I'm already thinking about the last part
That's
of how they
outline.
Could. All right, how they could not. Have
well, let's go back
Faux
to
Brian.
The. I'll help you out. Let's go back to the first part, which is overall impressions. And this is where, if we had a clever like button we could push, there would be some song about overalls, like a pun on overalls.
Overalls in my mouth all day and all night. It's right, you got overalls.
But ideally, we would do something a little bit more well produced and. Thought out
more
than
in
that.
Tune.
In your mouth all day.
In your mouth all day.
All right. You want to start, Dan?
So this episode, it goes by quickly for me, and maybe that's in part because if you had an episode like this, I don't want to be like one of those people that's like, well, nowadays they would have done this with this, because I don't want to like pretend that I know what I'm that smart, but like, but it would seem like stuff like this would stretch over. Like a season arc and a lot of, and or maybe if several episodes, because this was more serialized or episodic television.
Yes.
It seems like this would be like a candidate for one of them serialized stuff because it's almost because they have to touch on each point so quickly. They don't have time to linger on anything.
Oh, like so it'd be over several episodes. Replicant O'Brien.
I can see that happening.
They'd be trying to figure it out.
I can see that happening.
That sounds interminable.
Because they sound.
And I like the storyline, but I don't know. I think it's a pretty.
That doesn't sound right to me.
It's a pretty slight plot, is the thing.
That's the thing. Is it's a slight plot because.
But you think they could? There's a version of it that could be beefier and interwoven with the other story stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Is that the plot is slight because they have to touch on things so quickly. They can't really take too much time to delve into
it's like
anything.
Playing Duck Duck Goose. You gotta touch on things quickly.
You like touching on things quickly.
You gotta go duck, duck, duck.
Yeah.
Duck.
Goose!
Yes.
Nobody plays that anymore because of COVID. video games.
Look, I agree with you about the speed of this episode. This is a very straightforward story. It's thin. I don't mean that as a critique. It's just from a storytelling perspective. It's just this fucking story. It's boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
it's just O'Brien.
And that's why I'm saying, like, the story as it is, right, it's not exactly, like, intriguing for a whole season arc necessarily, but I think what I'm saying is what contributes to that is the fact that they didn't have a chance to go sort of into anything. It's just kind of like, this happened,
another, it's not an issue. It's a fact of life. It's a fact of life. I remember seeing this episode when it first aired, when I was nigh on, almost, very nearly 14.
You kind of sounded like you were doing an Irish accent when you said it was
I was
fact
not,
of
don't
life.
You fucking accuse me of that shit.
I almost didn't say that.
I almost didn't say that. But I remember when this episode aired that I was legitimately surprised by the twist. I thought the twist was great. And I still think the twist is great, but it's one of those twists that make rewatching the episode, and I've seen this episode a million times, it's still enjoyable, but you never get that first high. You know what I'm saying?
That's true, yeah.
Right.
Once you know what's going on,
it's kind of like leaving Las Vegas.
I don't have context to understand that analogy.
It's just one of those movies that you see, and then after,
when you see the end of it,
by the end of it, you're just kind of like, that was a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a good movie, but in TV show form, TV show version of a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, what's another movie that like, yeah, any kind of, I mean, can you think of
like in Seven?
Can you think of M. Night?
What's in the box?
Yeah. Can you think of it exactly like that? Or any kind of M. Night, classic M. Night,
Shyamalan.
Man. Like, could any of those really be? I guess you could watch Unbreakable again.
I was going to say, I used to think you could watch Unbreakable more, but it's a good movie. But I don't know. It's a dour movie.
Yeah, it's just dour. It's just kind of when you know. Yeah, it is kind of dour actually. One of those. It'd been a while since I'd seen this episode, and when I was watching it, I was like, huh, what's going on? Oh, yeah, kind of. And then I think when they started talking about chasing him, I was like, wait a minute. I think I remember this, what's going on. I think I remember what the deal is. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. And then, like, the whole episode came flooding back to me at that moment. And then the part where Molly was being a meanie pants to him. When I was like, that's right, it's this episode. Because it'd been so long since I've seen it that I couldn't quite remember which one it was about. And then when it all, the moment like,
which way is O'Brien fucked with in this episode?
Yeah.
And it's, and the thing is like you said, Dan, both clone O'Brien and real O'Brien to a lesser degree are both fucked with in this episode because real O'Brien has to watch himself die at the end.
Yeah, that's kind of a fucking bummer.
Yeah, because he's all making that face at the end.
Like, and he gets kidnapped.
Yeah,
and they socked him in the face, you could tell.
So, there were these things that they threw in there just to try to, like, in retrospect, make it seem like, for example, when Julian asks O'Brien if his mother and father are in good health, you know, and he's like, ah, Julian, ah, I told you that yesterday, ah! And Julian's like, oh, did you? I don't remember, of course, and now we know, of course, and so we're led to believe that... Oh, and when the first time you watch it, you're led to believe like, oh, this must be an alien Julian because he doesn't know the secrets of O'Brien. But then it's not until after the episode's over, you're like, oh, wait a minute, it's the other way around.
The secrets of O'Brien. I want a whole Star Trek series. Star Trek, : the secrets of O'Brien.
It was actually turned out in the end, it wasn't that alien Julian didn't know the secrets of O'Brien. It was that... that normal Julian was trying to see.
Good old bog standard Julian Bashir.
Was trying to see what Fobrien was all about, you know.
Right.
And so there was some kind of interesting things like that. Him ordering the Jamaican blend, like, I don't know, they really put an emphasis on. Has he ordered Jamaican?
It was
Jamaican,
the 90s.
Has he put it?
They're all about different kinds of coffee. Well, this blend and that blend and this kind of coffee.
Rectogino.
Yeah. Did they ever talk about Jamaican O'Brien drinking this Jamaican blend, double strong, double sweet?
Jamaican
else?
O'Brien crazy?
Yep. That.
Yeah.
Did they ever mention that anywhere in Star Trek to begin with?
Not to my recollection.
I don't know if it ever got Jamaican specific O'Brien crazy to like the kind of coffee he drank, but they
talk
about him drinking.
So
coffee.
Did they bring that in to try to make it seem like this O'Brien really, this must really be O'Brien.
Star Trek more hip.
No, I mean, they put it in there for a reason, and that reason, I'm not talking specifically because they mentioned a weird coffee. I'm just saying they could replace coffee with, you know, favorite type of.
What are you saying? Whiskey? Like, you're saying whiskey?
No.
Well, it's very specific. You were thinking.
No, I wasn't. I was going to say frickin' dough stew. That's what I was thinking. Wait, it was like the frickin' dough stew.
What the hell is frickin' dough stew anyway?
I don't know. It looked kind of mushy to me.
Oh, yeah.
Looked like some kind of dog.
The stew looked simultaneously disgusting and tasty.
You know, with that frickin' dough stew, he was all like, Keiko, you hate this shit. And she's like, but you like it. And then a second and then a second later, he's like, Keiko, why aren't you eating any of this shit? Something wrong? And it's like, we just established that she doesn't like frickin' dough stew. But then she's just like, no reason. It was like, why? Well, you established that she doesn't like frickin' dough stew. And then, like, the next question... O'Brien says, "Is why aren't you eating this shit you don't like?" Rewatch it, you'll see what I mean.
Yeah.
But so the point.
Well, I did rewatch. Right. And I know what you mean.
Yeah. So
what are you accusing Jesse of anyway? You're accusing Jesse of not watching a Star Trek episode.
I didn't accuse you of anything.
For
if
the
you
podcast.
Think I'm accusing you of something, well, that's on you, buddy.
That's what he said. He said I'm.
You're that's accused. What he said. So
I'm a little instigator.
So these little details like the double strong, double sweet, frickin' dough skier. I was going to say school like.
Skeet.
I was trying to say school like Cartman for some reason. Stew. Did they bring up these little details about O'Brien to be like, look, this is O'Brien. This is really O'Brien. See, look at all these very specific O'Brien things he has. How he mentions to Keiko, to Sisko, he's like, you know, Keiko's really fond of Jake. That's supposed to make us think like, oh, Jake-o. Wow. That's supposed to make us think it's like, wow, this O'Brien really thinks he's O'Brien. He even has the history of knowledge of Keiko, knowing that she's fond of Jake. You know, it's all these specific these things that they give these O'Brien specific sort of details. And it's like kind of like they made it a point to do that. And it was
you get a lot of O'Brien in this episode. Like if you've never I think it's like the most you ever see of his home life, I guess, up to that point. Well, maybe not necessarily, but
there's
like
a few times on TNG, yeah, but not yeah. maybe not so, quite. It's hard to. It's
but
hard
it's
to
a
gauge.
Bunch of like it you go back like to more. His quarters, like you know, several times.
Well, and it matters more thematically because forget about the screen time. It's just like it's in your mind that like it's, there's something weird with his family. There's something weird with the.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. They keep bringing up these specifics to make it seem
it's
like
it's not my Keiko.
It to make it because we realize after the fact that was a fake O'Brien. And they at first it seemed like they were giving these detailed specific things about him. So you would be like, oh, that must be the real O'Brien because he knows all these things. But later on, it's you're just supposed to retroactively be in awe of like, wow, they really made that O'Brien like a real O'Brien because he knew that Keiko.
It must
like
be
him.
O'Brien. Yeah.
It was, they even implanted memories into him. It wasn't the same as when Picard orders Earl Grey hot. That's just part of Picard's character. They specifically brought up this Jamaican double strong, double sweet, not to feel comfortable with O'Brien's character like it is with Earl Grey with Picard. It's just to bring up sort of an arbitrary fact about O'Brien to make you be like,
I don't think that was introduced.
That's O'Brien.
I believe that he's had his Jamaican blend, or at least double. What was it? Double
was
hot, double sweet.
I think that sounds more familiar than the Jamaican blend. The double sweet Jenks.
Yeah. Okay. What about the frickin' dough stew then?
That I've never heard of
that before. Or
is
since.
That a real thing, or is that like fungili? Is that a made up?
And I always get confused. Because she says endive, and I think there's endive and endive, and
that's
I think they're two parts of the same thing.
Where you've got eggplant and aubergines. Eggplants and aubergines.
What?
Eggplants and aubergines.
No, I'm talking about
That heavy metal band we had in high school, eggplants and aubergines?
No, I'm talking about...
It wasn't very good.
I'm talking about endive spelled E-A-E-N-D-I-V-E.
E-A-E-I-O.
E-N-D-I-V-E is endive, but people also pronounce it endive. And my question was, are they two different pronunciations of the same thing?
Yes.
I heard somewhere that it's two parts of the same plant, and they just happen to be spelled the same.
I guess I don't
pronounce
really
differently.
So the second thing is like totally plausible, but sounds ludicrous to me.
Yeah.
It sounds a little if.
I cannot provide an answer with any sort of confidence. However, our audience is sufficiently large. That
are you saying they're large, like physically? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying we have a sufficiently large audience.
Yes, compared to a Smurf, we are big, but compared to a giant, we are normal sized.
The numbers are good, Dan. What I'm saying is the numbers are fucking good, and somebody out there in our global audience can tell us if there is a difference between endives and endives. And
there's not.
And my guess is there's probably not.
Real quick,
still in the overall impressions category right here.
Yeah,
don't jump ahead, Dan.
Dan really takes the term overall quite literally.
Yeah, over all of it.
Overalls.
Well, this is topical. Fricandeau, according to Google, it's just a slice of veal or beef loin.
Okay, there you go.
It also says a dish made from veal or beef loin. Usually,
so she's replicating some veal.
Usually fried or stewed.
Stewed.
Stewed and served with a sauce.
It looked stewed.
The thowth?
The thowth.
A sauce?
South.
Thoth. Even though it's a minor thing, I do find the eating culture sometimes funny on Star Trek because they have replicators, right? Okay. Some people like to cook from scratch, like Riker or Pike, but for the most part, people are replicators. Sisko?
Anson,
is there Lieutenant Orum?
Mount, Captain Mount.
Anson.
Pike.
I said Pike.
Oh, did you say
Pike? I said Riker and Pike.
Said Pike.
Well, they didn't have replicators back then, did they?
They did too.
They kind of did. That's a whole other debate I don't want to get into.
They
right
were 3D printers back then. They were 3D printers with kind of
on Star Trek, like little things lifted up and food popped out on a tray. So to me, that's a proto replicator. Whatever.
Sisko liked to cook.
But anyway, who cares about who likes to cook? These are replicating people. Replicate stuff, and the conversation they had.
Keiko talked the most about replicating, actually. Well, in the domestic sense.
The thing that was interesting to me is that you've got what they're trying to do is they're trying to set up the sort of standard sitcom or drama, husband wife sort of tropey conversation, you know, sort of some sort of issue, you know, generate some tension there. But it just doesn't work so well in a world of replicators because it seems ludicrous to me that people wouldn't just replicate whatever the fuck they want. Like, you don't necessarily have to have a shared meal. And I know shared meals are awesome, and there's a lot of worthwhile stuff to the concept of people eating the same meal.
Maybe.
But that doesn't have to be like an everyday thing. I just imagine...
That's a very 20th century idea.
I think people already frequently do that, where they're like, I'm going to have this, and you can have that. And we can sit together and eat the individual foods
we don't even have to be in the same room. We just know that the other one's eating.
We don't even have to be fucking married.
I mean, the big deal they make on all those travel shows and stuff about sharing food together, and it's true, is that it's a community experience. You learn not just about each other, but you learn about each other's history through the kinds of food they're able to grow there.
And I believe the process,
the culture that led to that kind of food.
I think when
you eat the same thing, it's easier to share that in common when you're eating the same thing.
Yes, and I agree that in
the same style.
It's human nature in many
contexts that's the way to go. But I also allow for the not just possibility but probability that when you have fucking infinite food available,
absolutely,
and also people are all about doing what's best for themselves,
needs
and their
evolve.
Bodies, stuff that you are going to get. If you want a bowl of pudding, you can have a bowl of pudding.
I know I don't want to eat that fricandeau stew, and I would rather eat an endive and
Patrick wants Ebola pudding
and a bowl of pudding.
I said a bowl of pudding, not Ebola pudding.
I'll go with just about anything besides that fricandeau stew.
Endive is a leafy curly green that is a member of the daisy family. It is closely related to chicory, radicchio, and Belgian endive. Right. The rocket-shaped vegetable we call endive is actually pronounced endive. It's a Belgian endive, and guess what? It doesn't grow in nature, but actually requires a very labor-intensive, unnatural cultivation process.
That's true.
That's from Huffington Post. So there's some
All right. So
maybe they aren't part of the same thing.
Global audience, stand down.
They are the same thing.
Global
they
audience, are? Stand down. You do not need to write in because we have confirmation.
I'm still not clear on what the difference is.
I'm convinced that there is no difference.
Sometimes pronounced endive.
No.
I thought that was what you said.
No, the endive is the leafy curly green. The rocket-shaped vegetable is endive.
No, but that's not what you just said.
That's what I just fucking
you
read.
You just said it's some people say this, but often it's pronounced this, and the rocket ship. Anyway, don't worry about this.
I read specifically what this said, which is one's the leafy green.
I couldn't care less at this point.
Can we have an Andy podcast?
Move forward. It's irrelevant.
But I'm just saying that one is the leafy green and one is a rocket ship.
All right.
Vegetable.
What about the sci-fi twist? What did you think of that whole thing?
I think it's a really great sci-fi twist.
Well,
but it's really... is only super awesome effective like the first time you see it, and then after that you're kind of like, well, I know what's going to happen.
Well, specifically about the whole, like, because it kind of felt like one of them spy movies or something, you know, where somebody's like getting all paranoid. What's that movie, you know, with the guy?
Yeah, that's my favorite.
It's like a thriller's movies.
Quantum of Solace?
No, The Bourne Identity.
Oh.
It's not exactly like that, but you know, in The Bourne Identity, he doesn't know what's up, but he's getting all freaked out because people are like chasing him. Mm-hmm. Except in that case, they actually are. So it's not a very good example.
The Truman Show.
Oh, the Truman Show.
Well, we kind of know we know the deal from the beginning of that one. Yeah. I guess we do from the Bourne Identity. Well, but we're kind of learning as the thing goes on with Bourne Identity.
Well, there's a little bit of that. It's not film noir exactly, but there is a bit of that. People are not who they seem. There's the narration part, which is not something you'd normally see in like the spy movie, right? So I don't know. It seems like they're mixing together a few different things pretty effectively in my book.
Well, that's like, and to bring back the example of Julian and O'Brien, you know, Julian's like I said before, Julian was asking O'Brien about his mom and dad, and we're led to believe it's because it's an alien Julian. That's why he didn't know about O'Brien's history, but he was really testing O'Brien to see if O'Brien knew his own history.
Yeah, and then like we mentioned with his daughter acting weird and his wife clearly acting weird.
I think the Molly thing was the dead giveaway that it was like the wrong, that it was a faux Brian, because that's always the deal in shows is the kids are the ones that you can't trick. Right.
Yeah.
So that was the real clue that to be like, this is not real O'Brien. That's the deal.
That's a good point. And what's funny is with the O'Brien narration part, you know, the whole log entry kind of conceit, when you watch it through a couple of times, you start to realize that that's all like, there's just like a whole bunch of exposition where he's just explaining things.
Right.
But it's well done. I mean, it's a good way to incorporate the exposition into the show, but the plot also completely falls apart if you don't, you have to have some sort of like inner monologue of O'Brien's. Otherwise it just, the story doesn't work. And I thought this is in the context of Star Trek, having him do this personal log was a very effective way. They've done it before to do that.
So is that why you think they might have shunned Donna, put it closer to the end of the series, because they would have had us a chance to, it would have had us a chance to learn more about O'Brien?
Yeah.
Like, we would come into this episode with more knowledge about O'Brien and he would maybe need like a little less.
We would have had more
exposition.
Well, the thing is I kind of go both ways on it, because on the one hand, it feels like if the characters were a little bit more settled in, right, because this is midway through the second season, or a good chunk of the way through the second season, and we know the characters, they have some early history already, but you know, like most Star Trek shows of that era, they're not quite there yet. You're not quite in love with all the characters yet. And we don't know all their little foibles and things like that.
We do know O'Brien from TNG, but not really the O'Brien Keiko family man O'Brien
not
dynamic.
So much,
yeah. So you could argue that if it was a little bit later on, you know, there might be like a little bit more meat on the bones. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if it was a little bit later on in the series, you might not buy the idea that O'Brien wouldn't just simply be like, hey, Captain Sisko, something's up. Everyone's acting fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you know, he doesn't really do that here. He's asking some questions, but they're all like sort of, for lack of a better term, like sort of sheepish, you know, like from he's not quite even when he's like pretty sure. I don't know. It's just, to me, I think if you're like season four, or season five O'Brien, you're just going up to Captain Sisko saying like, I think there might be some alien shit going on here. Mm-hmm. We trust each other. People are acting weird.
In TNG, they do crazy shit like that. They'd be like, I think there's a fucking alien that's changing time and everything that's been happening for the past 3 years actually is going to happen tomorrow instead. And I'm the only person that's experienced this. And Picard's like, oh, interesting. That's wild. Maybe, well, can you tell me some more about that so I can just kind of believe you? You know? Like, I just believe you all the time.
It just seemed like that would be more of a possibility there. One thing I really liked about this plot is that we don't ever get any specifics about the Paradan government, you know, the Parada people.
All we know about the Parada is they get stinky pants when they get angry. And they never followed
they
up on that.
They get stinky pants.
That was a fact that they introduced but never got followed up
upon.
Said,
I don't think that it was stinky pants.
Well, they got some kind of stinky stink.
Well, Brian
they
said
got
something
a,
about...
They get a stink.
Clone Brian said it was particularly strong when they were angry.
Right, and so...
It probably comes out of their armpits.
But they never... really followed up on that. I guess that was part of another list of random factoids about O'Brien they threw into the episode. It's like, oh, see, O'Brien knew that about them. He must be the real O'Brien.
Well, that, he knew that because he was just... He wouldn't... A normal O'Brien wouldn't have known that. It was just something that because he had just been there, right? He was talking to them. So he was relaying he could have said whatever shit. They wouldn't know because they didn't meet them.
Okay, so then in that case, there was almost...
Maybe that one's not even true.
There was almost no point in bringing that line up at all.
I like that line.
I mean, does it really add any texture to anything?
It's flavor.
It's world building.
It's a little flavor.
It's world building. Describing aliens that we barely meet in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to have this sort of like, hey, this alien is a wiggle woggle, you know? That's kind of cool. But if they had more time to go into stuff like that, it would be kind of interesting, I think. I kind of wanted to know more about this Pirata Rebellion. I know it didn't matter. Well, the rebellion wasn't the point of the episode.
So what I think they pique our curiosity. It's one of those things. It's almost like Tolkien-esque in a way where there's a line that has a clear history. Like there's a whole history behind all this that we don't know. We only know this small sliver. And given that we weren't going to get all the details, I kind of like that... At the end of the episode, they weren't like, oh, here's the deal, and this was what was going to happen, and this is exactly what the plan was. It's similar, you know.
I don't want an exposition dump at the end. No, we don't need all
that.
No,
but in the case of, for example, there's that TNG episode. Is it Mind's Eye? I'm trying to remember.
The Nth Degree.
No, the one where Geordi's...
The one where Picard has to decide whether or not he's going to genocide the Borg.
Yeah, you bring that up frequently. It's still not that one.
Jesus, flip.
But the one where Geordi's visor is used because they're gonna like have him assassinate somebody. Mm. But we know the deal. That whole most of that episode, we know the deal. We know what's going on. The tension is built in a different way, and we know who all the players are. And you know, no spoilers or anything for that episode. But it's just the fact is like we're seeing everything happen, and it's more about how are they gonna stop it, right? In this episode, we don't have any of that information. We're in the same boat as Clone Brian and being weirded out by what's going on, if this is the first time we're watching. And at the end, when they meet up with those rebel guys, they don't even know what I like it. They're like, we don't know exactly what the plan was. We presume he was programmed to like kill some motherfucker, just mm-hmm. like Geordi was. But we don't know. We're just guessing. We just know it was some nefarious shit. It's got to be nefarious if they're making a clone, kidnapping a Starfleet officer, making a clone and sending the clone along.
I just think I wanted to see some Pirat and Stinky Pants like fuck with some people in this episode, and it didn't pay off.
How are you gonna know they were stinky? I mean, maybe they were already stinky. You can't smell them on the TV.
Well, this goes back.
But you get to see them all go, ew, gross. No, check, please.
I was going to say, this goes back to your point, Dan, about how they might have done things now. And I think a well-produced version of this today would have had... It wouldn't have had the full-on, ew, stinky, ew, gross. It just would have had, like...
In
the closing shot, when they're like with the rebels and everything's happened, like it's all the drama's done, you know, O'Brien dies and they're all like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. And then like just before the end credits roll, you would just see Sisko be like kind of look to the side and make a stinky face. Yeah. And then it would be like, boom, credits. It'd just be like a little
stinky. That would be perfect payoff. Yeah. I would be into that. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. That would make it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
Well, that was something they do on like the Orville or something like
yeah,
that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you'd even see that on, I think, Star Trek, like Pike doing the pirate voice or something like that. Just a little, little bit of flavor right at the end. All right. How about this? Let's take a quick break.
What?
An extremely quick break.
What?
And then we'll go on to segment two.
You can't do that.
Not too quick.
Well, we can vote on it. Do you want to take a break?
Let's take a break, but not
fine. Let's take a break.
All right. It's unanimous. We'll take a break.
I didn't want to not take a break anyway.
All right. We'll be right back. We have returned from the break.
I love that opening, that wormhole opening graphic. They did the classic, like, at the beginning of that. No. And I think of the opening scene every time where he's... And, of course, when you're inside the wormhole, there's all the super wormhole...
It's pretty cool.
And they do more of
time tendons and weirdness.
They do more of that in the first couple tendons. Seasons, and then later on, they just dispense with most of that stuff. I mean, every now and then, you go back to the inside the wormhole stuff, but for the most part...
The stuff coming out of
they
the
stop bothering with the traversing the wormhole stuff. Yeah. And so early seasons are great for that. No, it's a good evolution because they've got it in the first few seasons. You can see it when you want to.
You got the idea.
But you kind of don't need to be wasting screen time with that later.
It seems like the one where he's going into the wormhole at the beginning, I think they must just reuse that same animation over and over. That looks exactly like it does in the opening.
Yes. You know? And then reverse it.
I think about how...
Flip it and reverse it.
When that thing opens, it must be going so fucking fast. I know we must have gotten... How big is the... We've entered this. We've answered
I don't know if we've answered the old...
Is it parsecs apart?
I don't know how big the wormhole is off the top of my head.
Wouldn't be that.
Parsecs.
I do know that it's a little ways from Bajor, because remember they had to move the station.
How many astronomical units wide is
it? Yeah.
Nobody, astronomical units, I think, is also...
It's very Earth-centric.
Yeah, just like parsecs.
But it's the Federation, you know, foists or, the Earth-centric measurements.
Okay, well, how much is it in fucking Cardassian...
Actually, parsec
grams.
Wait, isn't Cardassian grams?
Cardassian space grams.
I forget.
Watch out if you order your weed or cocaine in Cardassian grams.
I can't remember if parsecs is geocentric or human or anthrocentric.
Parsec is a measure of an angle, isn't it?
Well, I thought a parabolic second or something.
Yeah, it's like a part of the arc second business or something that's related to that.
Right, so which would be geocentric? I thought there was one where you stick your hand out and put your thumb up and you measure the distance. I could be making that one up. I don't know.
Well, you got to lick your thumb and you see how the wind is blowing.
Yeah,
you're talking about pointing at
the stars.
You know, you're right about the. It's
by the way,
it is one of those
no one ever sticks their thumb up and no one sucks their thumb and sticks it up in the air while playing golf.
They only do one thing after they lick their thumb, and only one place they stick it up.
Right.
In a donut before they eat it.
Ew! Why would you do that?
I grip my donut from. I select a side of the donut.
Bite it with your teeth.
And I grip it with my thumb and index finger, and then I consume it from the other side. I love donuts. You ever have them mochi donuts? That shit is
Do you like cake donuts or more the Krispy Kreme gooey doughy donuts?
Like them both.
Yeah, they're both good.
Like them both.
Yeah.
I know people got their sides, Krispy Kreme, Dunkin' Donuts, whatever, but I'm all about it all.
Either way is
it. I mean, I do prefer a bready donut when it comes down to it.
Interesting.
If it comes down to it. But I do like the cakey like ones as well. But a bready donut. With those sinewy, glutinous textures. Except if you get a mochi donut, which I believe those are gluten free because they're made of rice or some shit.
Oh, they're
mochi
actually. It's
made
not
of
just
some weird sticky shit.
So yeah. It's not just rice. It's not. I mean, I'm sorry. It's not just the flavor of mochi. You're saying it's actually mochi.
It's a different kind of donut, but it's anyway. You can go check it out. Go find it in your local donutery.
I'm trying to figure out how long.
So
the tunnel of the Bajoran wormhole, according to StarTrek.com, says it's approximately 90,000 light years long.
That's to get to the Gamma Quadrant.
Right, so I'm more interested in the width. So when it opens, how fast is that?
The diameter. What's the fucking diameter of the wormhole? That's what you should be looking
at. That's what I'm trying to look at. And I'm saying, like, it's either way, it's moving pretty fucking fast when it opens. Okay, it says diameter is 1,451.82 meters.
Which is, that's like the size of the Enterprise D, the length, somewhere in there.
Is the Enterprise D over a kilometer long?
I think so. I think it's 1,000 meters. I could be wrong. Maybe I got that wrong. Maybe it's 1,000 feet. I think
I'm sorry.
Feet.
This is the size of the Deep Space Nine. Sorry, that's not
the All right. Yeah, the wormhole's got to be bigger.
They never
sent
the D through the wormhole anyway. So.
Never sent that D through
the wormhole. But didn't they send, I think they sent some other.
The Excelsior.
Galaxy class.
So that was wrong. That was the DS9. The wormhole's probably bigger.
All right. While you're googling, I also wanted to make the point that about this story, about the plot that I thought was kind of fun, is it all hinges on the fact that, like, O'Brien is so curious and he's such a problem solver and he's also so attuned to the relationships he has that they clone the wrong guy. Like, this guy, as soon as something was slightly off, he was going to stop at nothing. He was going to be fucking obsessed with sorting out what the issue is, right? Because, like, just people are not acting the way they should, and he wants to solve that problem. He's an engineer, right? So I thought that was a cool aspect of this story. Conceivably, they could have cloned somebody else and may have been more successful as a result.
Yeah, like when he got that crack. The only time he got grumpy at Cisco is when Cisco said, like, you got to fix those upper pylons. He's like, but I just redesigned the whole subsystem myself. You could tell, like, there's nothing wrong with those subsystems. The way O'Brien said it, knowing what we know about O'Brien, he doesn't fuck around with that shit. Something must be about.
Somebody went up in there, like, with a monkey wrench and, like, broke it up, like, like, whacked it a bunch and...
Do you think O'Brien and Julian are friends because Julian is like a doctor and O'Brien is like a robot doctor or a machine doctor?
Like I think it was like O'Brien's always getting fucked up like kayaking and shit.
because Julian's younger and O'Brien wants Julian's. Well, a super
even on the Enterprise D, O'Brien was fucking up his shoulder kayaking or whatever, and then now he fucks it up playing the future racquetball. What do they? Yeah. Do you remember what they call that racquetball?
Pongo ball.
No,
I think they just call it racquetball.
Do they just call it racquetball? Maybe they did, but they just
Parisi squares.
No, that's no. Different. O'Brien's not stupid enough to play Parisi Square.
No, that is a good point. I was just thinking, like, O'Brien is basically a doctor of the machines.
Isn't
that the same thing?
It's analogous.
It's more of a philosophical question, but I understand.
That's why they're friends.
I understand and support the point that you're making. Something I had never considered before.
Two different sides of a coin. Not quite the same.
Because Julian Bashir on Our Man Bashir, he was a James Bond type, but he was solving a mystery. You know,
Julian Bashir also has on multiple episodes
a disease.
Demonstrated an obsessive quality when trying to help cure people of diseases.
I love that part on the DS9 bridge, that little indent, that little inverse dimple where the engine, I guess it's just engineering stuff down there, but it's on the bridge. It's that part where if you're not careful, you could like walk into it and fall down that hole.
Yeah.
Like then they're all the engineers.
It's like the orchestra pit.
Yeah, that's right. It's like the orchestra pit of the DS9 bridge. And I guess that's just engineering shit. It's just such a weird design. I kind of love it.
Well, one of the things, again, it's one of the upsetting things about having to watch Deep Space Nine in standard definition is the production quality is so fucking amazing on Deep Space Nine, and the fact that they're on this Cardassian station, and for example, Sisko's office was Gul Dukat's office before, mm-hmm. right? It's whoever is running mm-hmm. it for the Cardassians. It's all high up and looming over everybody. Yeah. And then there's these like successive like terraced layers in terms of basically like the importance of the people going down. And probably that's why the engineering stuff is all like, you know,
it's like way down there.
Stay down there out of sight. We don't need to be looking at you.
You know, speaking of production, I was watching this on Paramount Plus, as one does, and I kept noticing, I don't know if y'all were getting this, but the screen would, there'd be these weird screen tearing that was going on, where it would like, it would look, it looks like it, half the screen was like, it was interlaced over top of each other, and there was, it's like, imagine if you took your fingers or your hands, you put them together in like a weave pattern, and for me, the screen would like, it'd be like if you separated, or like if one hand moved. It looked like there was like finger. It looked like the screen was like tearing. I swear to God, I gotta watch it.
I'm not discounting what you're saying, because I watched it on a personal copy that I have from my private collection. I cannot confirm whether or not this is a regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to ask you though, is how many bubbly bounces did you have before watching?
None. No.
I'm just wondering if that factored in at all.
My eyeballs were bubbling.
That's a podcast only beverage.
I did have like probably had like five Dr. Pepper Zeros.
Well, because you can get. Have you ever gotten those caffeine hallucinations? The little fairies, the little sparkly fairies that float around. You ever had that? Man. I don't get that very often, but every now and then, you know, just a slow morning, so you're knocking back Red Bull, knocking back coffee, you get to the office, you get another coffee, and then all of a sudden you just see the occasional like little spiraling little like
the things out of your corner of your eye.
Little happy little fairies.
Sounds
that float
more
around.
like too much nicotine or something.
If you took your fingers and wove them together and then took one hand and moved it over some, but kept the other one the same, you get this pattern of like these horizontal lines on top of each other. Suddenly the screen breaks into this.
Paramount Plus this, does, I mean, you does not screen, always.
You're talking about a fucking like salvia trip.
It doesn't always look the best.
It's the horizontal lines. It looks like the screen is fine, and then it's like they split.
It's Paramount.
Part of it goes to the left, and part of it goes to the right, and does this weird split where it goes. I know it sounds like I'm talking crazy talk.
No, I know what you're saying. Kind of, because it doesn't always look that great. Sometimes it's a little janky.
I think the transfers they have for some of these shows are not great.
Yeah,
because I've got like DVD versions that just they don't look great, but they look better than that.
It often happens around like a camera change or something. I don't know if it's technically, it's not judder, but it's something.
I think I mentioned this before, but the Voyager looks funny. Some of the episodes, seasons of Voyager, it's got this funny like bordery thing on the top. Yeah. It's like a little bend in the screen, and there's like some shit coming off.
Well, sometimes there's like, because there's stuff that when they broadcast those things in 4:3 standard definition, there would be like, I don't know if this is what you're talking about, Jesse, but I know that you sometimes see this where there's information that would not have been shown on a regular TV.
Yes.
That's like encoded information along the top, and it's encoded in like pink wavy lines.
Right,
or whatever.
It's like that.
But then sometimes on like Paramount Plus or Netflix or something, you'll see that stuff because they've just copied over the full frame that was never intended to actually be. They were taking into account the distortions of a regular old tube TV.
Right.
Back in the day.
It is like that. It's like this other stuff that's up there.
I remember there was a time when tube TVs and CRT televisions like...
Super VGA.
When the thrift stores, none of the thrift stores would accept them anymore. It's like, nobody wants these things anymore. Yeah. And then within a few years, like, everyone's like, I want a CRT television.
Yes. Because
they're like, awesome for Nintendo and shit like that.
But, or you can make it into a fish tank.
That probably sounds dangerous.
Or you could... use it as a
but I mean, you wouldn't use the same tube. You would get you'd replace it.
But you have to safely dispose of the tube because you can cause damage to people.
You can just pee into
other living things.
And the environment.
But yeah, so what were
the Sony Trinitrons are super heavy.
No doubt.
Oh my
so
God.
How about
heaviest
this?
Television
I want a TV with like the UHF and VHF dials. That's what I want.
I mean, you can go get one.
They're hard to find.
You can probably get like a brand new one that costs like $3,000.
Yeah, I want an old one.
Artisanally put together UHF
stuff TV. That doesn't even exist anymore. Right?
Yeah, well, they're not broadcasting on those signals.
Yeah,
so
right.
You just get a bunch of gobbledygook.
You get a VHS tape and a Nintendo Entertainment System.
You have to get like a digital adapter.
A didgeridoo adapter.
This is as we mentioned earlier, what another in the long line, actually probably one of the first in the long line of let's make Miles get all fucked up.
Yeah.
Let's fuck with Miles.
Make Miles suffer.
And you know, it's not like this was a super heavy one, but it's pretty intense because we're following a character who we know and love, and we find out at the end of the episode that he was a clone the whole time, just a perfect clone with the same memories and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm a clone now.
He dies. His last thing he says is like, tell Keiko I love her.
He goes, I tell Keiko I love, and then he dies to make it extra sad.
He's like,
he
I love Bashir.
Whoa, that would have been an awesome
love triangle with
Bashir
and Garrick.
That would be awesome because he has all of Miles' memories.
That's why the real O'Brien made that face at the end.
That's why the real O'Brien, I think, secretly was the one who killed him.
He killed him so he couldn't get that last word out.
Yeah, he was like, I don't want that dude to reveal my secrets.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, it is still, even our O'Brien, who we don't see for the vast majority of the episode, is, you presume you gotta be a little fucked up to watch like a version of you. It's not even just like a clone of you, it's like a perfect clone, memory everything clone of you, just die in front of you.
That's like some Rick and Morty kind of thing.
It is, and just trying to, and all he was trying to do was like figure out why everyone was acting the fucking fool around him.
Yeah, he was
like, why is everyone being so mean to me?
Yeah, he wasn't really trying to hurt anybody, he was just, he had to tell people that like something was effed up, and everybody was like, listen man, just cool it, go back to where you belong, just keep quiet.
And he assumed that meant there was like his mind an ever growing conspiracy.
Everybody was a pod person except him.
It was like, was it first? See, was it just his wife? Then it was his wife and Julie and Cisco. Then it was like the admirals were in it.
So imagine us, the viewer.
They even
viewer.
Fucking Odo.
Imagine us, the viewer.
That's when once Odo was in it, he had to get the fuck out.
Yeah, the Odo shit I thought was really well played.
Yeah,
imagine us as the viewer watching it the first time. We're taking on this ride of like, oh my gosh. That's not even O'Brien. It's a different O'Brien. Imagine what he had to feel like. Yeah. He basically has the memories of his entire life, and basically his life led up to this one moment where I've been lied to my entire life, which is only like a few hours, but to him it's the classic conundrum.
Maybe that's how it happens with everybody.
What are you talking about?
Oh,
that's
man.
Terrifying.
Don't say shit like that.
You know what happens to everyone? Like, one day we wake up, we're like, oh man, I'm the clone.
People create whole afterlife and during life structures, philosophies, and just have many ways of dealing with the uncertainty of life. But like, to throw that one in there, it's a real bummer.
That is a real bummer. For real.
For real.
But yeah,
that's what I do, man.
The Odo stuff was, to me, it was a very
Captain Bringback.
It was very cruel in an important and good way, because it was that whole like, oh, Odo was on a trip this whole time, so he's probably not tainted by this. And he shows up and he's all into it. He's like, okay, he's like, I'll check it out. Blah, blah, blah. And then like O'Brien goes back to him and he's like, so what's the deal? And Odo's like, oh yeah, just don't worry about it. And O'Brien's like, they got to you.
Yeah. The only one who wasn't in on it was Jake. Jake wasn't in on it.
Yes.
He was.
He was not. He was sort of.
He wasn't in on it until the very end. They were probably like.
They didn't tell him that was that Miles. And
at the, end, when he was like, just turn yourself in, then he knew. But when when he was talking about that emitter crystal thing, his hands, he was doing some crazy hand movements.
Subspace transceiver? Yeah. A really, really old subspace.
Yeah, really, really old. Did you notice?
Saw it in an old rep book.
In like a Popular Mechanics.
Rewatch the first scene with Jake Sisko talking to O'Brien. His hands are doing some crazy twiddly twaddles the whole time. You should watch his hands.
Oh, Jake Sisko?
Yeah, Jake's doing a lot of twiddly twaddlies with his hand for that first scene he's talking with O'Brien.
Anyway. I always pay attention to what he's wearing.
Yeah.
It's hard not to pay attention to what Jake's wearing. He's stylish.
He is stylish.
I don't know if that's stylish. I think that's rather...
In 1994, that was stylish.
That was the style of the future.
That was future style.
That made even Wesley's outfit look cool. Like, geez, flip.
Geez, oh, flip indeed.
Okay, how about this? We'll just briefly run down some of the other episodes. Don't worry, we're not going to spoil any super details about them for folks who... aren't down the line.
That depends on your definition of spoilage.
And then, you know, if we do, just don't listen.
With the caveat that we are self-defining
Nobody
spoilers,
told you to listen.
Because there is a spectrum of what people... Sometimes people get mad if you mention that there's going to be a new episode of Star Trek. And they're like, well, I didn't know that! Yeah. It's like, dude, we're three episodes into a brand new season of a new show.
No, that could have been the twist.
You don't know that I know that. Yeah, maybe the whole thing is that it ends after three episodes, and that's their new thing.
Paramount Plus already tried that with Discovery, where they decided to end the
British
season
Star Trek,
and then bring it back 3 weeks later. People weren't impressed.
All right. So, what are some of the other episodes? Okay, there's Honor Among Thieves, which is one of my personal favorite Deep Space Nine episodes. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. But basically, O'Brien is just put into a fucking impossible moral dilemma and endures some sad business in that. Tribunal is that one that comes, I think it's third season. It's after this episode, I know, where he gets framed for some crime and gets like tried on Cardassia by one of them Cardassian bullshit courts.
And
that's pretty. That's pretty tense.
They had the mockery of justice on that planet.
There's Time's Orphan, where his daughter, and this is not really spoilers in my opinion. The whole plot of the episode is that like his daughter gets stuck back in time and then like turns into like a feral girl that they have to deal with.
That was fucked up.
It's fucked up. It's also not a particularly good episode. It's like one of those rare kind of DS9. Clunker episodes, and it's mostly just sort of sad and upsetting for most of it. You know, then there's that whole like there was a magnetic storm that Bashir had to like transfer Miles's baby from Keiko O'Brien's womb into Major Kira,
right?
And that was just because the Nana Visitor was pregnant at the time.
Yeah, that's right.
With Alexander Siddig's baby, as I recall. Well, so they needed to explain that.
I didn't know that
was a real Star Trek reason, but it did result in some fun.
There was like the
interpersonal stuff.
The Wraith Keiko. When the Wraith took over Keiko.
Wraith Co.
Oh yeah, there was the Wraith Keiko one. Yeah,
I want some Wraith cake.
One that's not that great an episode.
You want some Wraith cake, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
That sounds delicious. Yes.
Wraith cake.
Give me two slices of Wraith cake.
With some lava cream.
With a lot of lava.
Maybe what else was there?
I watched you watch it.
Oh, and then of course, we can't forget Hard Time, which everyone, you know, even if you've never watched Deep Space Nine, you're probably familiar with the episode where O'Brien just has 20 years of punishment injected into his head and then all sorts of fucked up, horrible shit. Like, you could see a Star Trek episode, like TNG doing that and it being more, like, different or lighthearted. Deep Space Nine was like, oh no, this is horrible. You're going to see a horrible, upsetting story, and it's a wonderful episode, but it's intense and fucked up. There are lots of other examples of O'Brien being the one who gets fiddled around with for one reason or another. And a lot of that, I think, comes down to, I think many other people have suggested this, O'Brien is that everyman character, right? He was that on TNG. They make, he's even more so that on Deep Space Nine, in the terms that he's identified as, like, oh, he's just an everyman. So let's have horrible shit happen to him because people can identify with him. I think if you really analyze it closely, this whole everyman thing that people talk about with O'Brien, it doesn't entirely hold up because O'Brien is like a super genius engineer. Yeah. He's been in the wars with Cardassians. Lower Decks shows that he's the most important person ever.
He has to be like a mechanical engineer, an electric engineer, and a computer programmer. Yes. Like, right, he has to be all these motherfucking things.
He's got to fix like the replicator. He's got to fix like the space toilet.
And by the way, I'm not criticizing that.
The garbage machine.
I'm not criticizing the everyman idea, because the reason it works is because of Colm Meaney's portrayal of him.
Bullions around. You got to fix the toilet.
What? Do bullions poop?
Oh yeah, that's right. Bullion shit.
There was
a lot.
Some joke about that.
Which Star Trek was that? Was that Lower Decks or was that like?
It was either Lower Decks or Discovery. Actually, it may have been Discovery.
There's so much Star Trek on these days. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Colm Meaney is what makes you be able to identify with him as more so than you might identify with Picard or a Kirk or a Julian Bashir or any of these other people.
He was in that movie Far and Away. Do you remember that movie Far and Away with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman?
I remember it, but I did not view it.
Yeah, that's a good movie, actually. It's not bad.
But if
bad.
It's got Colm Meaney in it, I might check it out.
He's also in which one of the, you know, the ones with the karate guy, the dumb guy with the train and the boat, you know? Is he on the train or the boat?
What?
You know the movie with the train or the boat? There's one movie.
Karate Kid?
No, there's one movie with the train Speed. And the bad guys take it over, and then there's one with the boat. I forget which comes first.
What's that one? What is that?
You know? Colm Meaney's in one of them. I think it's the one with the train, but it could
I have
be the
no
one with
idea
the boat.
What you're talking about.
What is that? That sounds familiar. No, what is. Yeah.
It's going to drive me nuts that I've forgotten these very famous.
I have no idea movie. What you're
All right,
talking
well,
about.
Well, I'll find it for you. While we continue our discussion, but he is an everyman in Star Trek. He's a great actor because in a lot of these other movies, he's not the everyman.
These other movies, other shows.
Yeah, like other movies or other roles he's played. He's played violent dudes, tough guy dudes.
He's been in some sort of recent Western. There's a recent Western TV show. I forget what it's called, but
these guys are really helpful.
I know. I'm sorry. But
we're like, no.
I didn't watch it, but I know he was.
I don't
was
remember
in
what
it
was called. You remember that awesome shit that happened? Well, I don't remember what it was, but it was cool.
Shut up.
Patrick was doing it too. Patrick began it with this train boat bullshit when he was talking about.
Under Siege is the movie, by the way.
Oh, I would have never gotten
it. Oh, that guy.
And then Under Siege 2. He's in one of them. I can't forget.
Right,
remember.
That guy.
He was in Con Air, too. He was the asshole like government agent in Con Air.
What is that guy? Seagal?
Yeah, Steven Seagal.
I never saw any Steven Seagal movies. Yeah.
All right, so anyway, Colm Meaney, he's rad,
didn't
right?
That guy moved to North Korea or something?
He's in Russia.
Russia.
He moved to Russia.
Whatever.
And he's always talking about how awesome...
That's what it is, Russia.
Putin is.
Of course he is.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take another quick break.
Totally.
And then we'll wrap things up about whispers. Not about. We'll wrap up our discussion.
We'll do the wrap things up, rack, boobity boop. We'll wrap things up, rack, boobity boop.
We have to whisper the whole
wrap
rest
up
of
our
the,
discussion
rest
of
the podcast.
We gotta rap like a whisper, boobity boop. We gotta rap like a whisper, boobity boop. Boobity boop. Boobity boop. Rap like a whisper, boobity boop.
My name is Dan.
We'll be right back. We have returned. We've returned from the break, and we're ready to go.
We never really went anywhere.
Ready to converse.
A quote from that Memory Alpha about the fucking wormhole. It says the visual effects for the wormhole was created by Rhythm and Hughes. Michael Gibson of Rhythm and Hughes described the wormhole.
Michael Gibson.
It blossoms suddenly out of black space with multiple layers of swirling gaseous clouds, miles in diameter.
Senator, sounds like your butt.
Yeah, is it Hughes like H-U-E-S?
Yes.
Or is it Hughes like somebody's name is like Brian Hughes?
No, it's Hughes. Well, it's good. You stopped me at the important part, which is it's apparently miles in diameter. So
like Miles O'Brien? Get it? Miles O'Brien?
I totally got it.
I feel like it's got to be much more than miles.
Because
if DS9 is a kilometer and a half tall, it's got to be more than like miles. It's got to be like 100 miles.
Those upper pylons are like a mile up.
The DS9 is like a kilometer and a half long. I'm saying the wormhole, put DS9 next to the wormhole. The wormhole's got to be like thousands of miles, but it says miles.
You literally keep upping it by orders of magnitude.
Except they would say kilometers.
Thousands. You went from hundreds to thousands.
I don't know. I said thousands. I don't remember saying hundreds.
It's all good.
I don't remember saying
they do kilometers.
Kilometers. Anyway, point being is it's at least miles diameter.
Miles O'Brien.
It's Miles O'Brien in diameter. Okay. Speaking of Miles O'Brien, it was weird when he was telling Keiko that the replicator would keep the food warm, like he would keep her warm. That was weird and gross. And he's like, the replicator.
He was super Miles. Horny.
He was like.
He's not that smooth.
He's like, the replicator will keep the food warm. Like, I'll keep you warm. And then it was also gross later when he goes, when he was talking about how he's like, he had sexy letters to his wife. He's like, I hope they enjoyed reading those sexy letters to my wife. What a pervert. What a weird
way to put...
What
do you think he wrote in those?
And who says it like that? Who goes like, my sexy letters to my wife? You know, that's such a weird dynamic.
Well, he just finished like listening to like like all their boring like station logs. He was like falling asleep and stuff.
Yeah, but would you describe it as sexy letters? Oh yeah, he was like... He was listening to a bunch of that.
I think he
shit.
Was just pissed off at that point.
You'd call
it something else. You wouldn't say sexy letters.
First of all, you'd call it like an email the term existed in 1994, but it was not sort of diffused into the population.
Like, when was the last time you wrote something?
Electronic mail.
Something.
Subspace transmission.
When was the last time you wrote something that you would call sexy to someone? Check out these sexy texts I sent.
I don't know. Our WhatsApp group can get pretty sexy.
But I'm saying you don't use the word sexy to describe it.
I might start doing that
now. I'm not arguing what you do. What
word do you use?
There's a two-part answer to you, Dan. First part, I'm in agreement with you. Normally, it's not something you'd expect. However, now that the idea has been introduced...
It's be done ironically.
I might. How about this? I will start using the term sexy more often, and you all
are
can
you
determine.
Doing me a favor?
No, and you no no, and you all can choose whether or not to treat it ironically or not.
This world is a little too open ended for my taste.
Come on, man.
You like structure in your life.
Yeah, I need the structure in order to make sense of this world.
All right. Well, how about this? One thing I wanted to chat about was
okay.
Would there be any like alternative ways that if we were the members of the crew, if we get a subspace message saying FYI, the motherfucker coming back to your station is going to look like your dude, but it ain't. You can trust us. We's the rebels. And so the situation is they're not 100% sure that the O'Brien that's coming back is actually a bad guy O'Brien, right? Because they've just been told this by rebels of the government that they're just about to talk to. So their official discussions are with the government, right? That's the setup. We can infer all of that setup, right? So I think we have to first consider the fact that probably, not to be too nitpicky, one potential issue with this plot is the foundation, which is one would think if they got that message, when O'Brien showed up, they would simply like put him in his quarters and they would explain the situation to him. They'd say like,
oh,
hey,
right.
You are a high level senior staff officer. We have to explain to you that we got this message. We don't know what the deal is, but we're just FYI. We're just, please stay in your room. We're going to keep you in there until we sort this out. And then
that's what they would do on the Enterprise.
Yeah. And whether it was actual O'Brien, clone O'Brien, because clone O'Brien's going to react the same way as actual O'Brien. Both of those O'Briens would have said, no problem, sir. I understand.
Right? I agree with you. The only reason I think maybe, I guess you could argue in favor of the other direction is that Julian did that physical and Julian was like, we had to try the physical to see how much they didn't know at that point how much he knew, I guess.
Yeah, but why do they need to know that if the idea is that he's a danger?
I mean, yeah, they could at least put him in the brig or something.
Yeah, you know, and, like, if they don't, and if they don't want to put him in the brig,
because the physical was inconclusive. The physical, he was just, he seemed like it was just O'Brien.
It never works when you play the secrets game, when you try to like have some big,
secrets.
Big elaborate.
Maybe that's the very subtle moral of this episode, which otherwise there is no actual moral to the episode. Right. But maybe the subtle moral is. Don't tell lies to your friends.
Yeah.
Just be upfront.
They were all kind of clumsy.
Even if you think they're fake friends.
Even Sisko had this kind of funny, kind of coy vibe going on. Like,
they were all acting like there's a monster. You're a ghost monster.
Yeah,
and like, we have to tiptoe around
you.
Don't worry, man.
Just, I need you to check out those upper pylons, man.
I think there are probably things they could have done differently. Like I said, I would have.
Keiko was pretty lousy too. She was bad at pretending.
Well, she's also a civilian, the issue with Molly, of course, as Dan mentioned, there's nothing you can.
Right,
she's too young to be in a position to be like, okay, here's the deal. Your dad's a clone. Right? And it's not clear to us whether they informed Molly, which seems like problematic. On the other hand, you might say you have a duty to inform Molly that your dad might be a monstrous evil clone. On the other hand, I buy into Dan's theory that it wouldn't really matter because Molly's a kid and perceptive and would know that there was something wrong, even if he's a perfect Miles clone. She would be getting a weird vibe at the very least off her mom, because clearly Keiko is in the know. They've gone to Keiko and said, hey, we're not 100% sure, but Miles might be an assassin clone.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I think it all starts to fall apart anytime Molly's involved. Maybe you get Molly and Keiko off the station earlier. Like, Keiko's like, hey, I got like some thing I got to go do, or I got to go to Bajor real quick for some educational conference or something. An emergency educational conference. But yeah, if you remove them, you might have a little bit easier of a time of it, because in the plot of this story anyway, and it could have played out different ways, of course, but in the plot of this story, where Miles really first starts getting weirded out is with the Keiko business, the Keiko and Molly business. Yeah. And then he sees Keiko talking to Sisko in a shady fashion. So that's what gets the ball rolling.
And I guess Keiko was trying to usher Molly out the door quickly because at the beginning, at the beginning, he's all like, 5:30 in the morning?
Yes.
And he orders coffee, and then he goes, and then she's like, no. And then he goes, what did I do to deserve that? And then Keiko's like, I want to do the Vulcan thing while her mind is fresh. And he's like, 5:30 in the morning, if you say so. You know, he's all super grumpy.
That's
Keiko.
Vulcan hours.
Vulcan hours.
Oh, and there's like the thing with the stew, and you're not really sure if the stew was actually tampered with or if she's just testing him because supposed to like
but
the stew.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we don't know, but
Or she was just trying to keep him. I mean,
trying to keep him occupied.
Yeah, if you're just so told, hey, he
it's
might
like,
be
well,
a clone.
You didn't eat your stew.
Can you just keep him busy and distracted?
Well, she didn't do a good job, because she was like, she made him stew that alerted him that something was up.
Exactly.
Like, you don't like
so that. She was acting fucking weird.
She should have foisted whatever regular dinner she was planning on him and been like, just eat it, Miles.
What was that?
Even though there's a replicator and you can have literally whatever the fuck you want.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to have an endive salad.
Or endive.
An endive salad.
Or endive parsley cues. What was that blue drink? Why was that blue drink? What was it? They had some blue drink. Like, why did they drink
blue
drink?
She mentioned some kind of wine?
Yeah.
Is that some kind of...
I mean, well, because the Romulan ale is blue.
It looked like Mad Dog 2020.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross. Hey, kids, if you're going to swipe some drinks from the store, don't swipe the Mad Dog 2020. Upgrade yourself. If you're going to go down that path, go down it properly. Spend some money, all right?
Get Brass Monkey instead.
Or steal the good
shit. Are you instructing children on how to, like, drink?
I do not advise children to get involved in any of this.
Probably not.
But teens are going to be teens. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just better if they're getting...
Kids is kids.
Get yourself a nice IPA or...
Right. Learn about flavor.
Or a Pinot Grigio.
I don't think a kid's going to want to drink an IPA. They just tell them to drink a fucking... Like
then you shouldn't be drinking. This is what I'm getting at. If you're not going to be drinking like an IPA if you have to drink Boone's Farm, you shouldn't be drinking. If that's the only way you can drink, if you're like, this is the only thing that's palatable to me is some fucking Mad Dog. Upgrade your lifestyle. Treat yourself.
See what your parents have in their liquor cabinet.
See, he's telling the kids what to do.
Sample some stuff.
I'm out of this conversation. I have my own set of opinions, but I'll keep it to myself.
Hey, you go up into the bathroom, and you open up the thing. They call it the medicine cabinet. You know why? It's full of pills.
Full of great, wonderful pills.
Guess what? Your parents get all those pills up there. Maybe not these days. Baby boomers, there was always pills in the... just endless pills in the...
At one point, and I don't...
Mountains.
I don't know. Oh, but... Okay, so tell me one thing.
Okay.
I'll tell you a few things.
Do robots sweat because O'Brien was sweating near the end when he went into the wormhole?
Well, he wasn't a robot.
He was a replicant.
He was a clone.
He was a robot.
No, he was a clone.
When they shot him in the chest, it zapped.
It did.
Everybody zapped.
It zapped.
Oh, I just took that as being a weird.
I think he was a robot.
Yeah.
They never said he was a clone.
All right.
Which makes me also brings
my
next point.
Back against
they only said he was a replicant, so that could be anything.
That could. So, which makes me the next point is when he was zapped, they said, "Doctor, we need you." Because Julian was attending to real Brian.
And Julian didn't do nothing.
Well, that's because they shouldn't have gotten a doctor. They should have gotten O'Brien to take care of O'Brien because O'Brien is a robot doctor.
And then everybody's head would have exploded.
Because O'Brien is a robot doctor. Only O'Brien could have saved robot O'Brien. Faux Brian.
O'Brien's not a robot doctor.
That's what an engineer is. It's a robot doctor. That's why him and Julian get... We already had this conversation, right? Didn't we? Am I making it up? But maybe he could have fixed it so his head wouldn't explode, and maybe that's what they should have done, is they should have gotten O'Brien to fix Faux Brian because he's a robot doctor.
Bro Brian.
Brian
wears sunglasses and is a fucking asshole to everyone.
Man, like, O'Brien, like...
Piss off.
Okay, this is just... I'm going to just quote the O'Brien lines from the first Julian exchange, just to see if this is interesting at all.
All right. I always love these types of live on-air experiments.
Yes.
Experimental entertainment. We leave these things for the end of the episode.
Yeah. Dan's experiment.
So this is Julian and O'Brien's first encounter in the episode, just from O'Brien. What is it, Julian? Excuses? For what? Look, this isn't a good day. What are you doing going to the commander about my checkup? Forget it, I've got things to do. That was the first one. At that point, Sisko says...
And all just Miles' lines, right?
Those were just Miles'.
You have just Bashir's lines?
Oh, shit, I didn't even think to do that. That just didn't occur to me. But then Sisko comes in and goes something about Dr. Bashir's annual report on the senior staff is due. We all had to go through this. And O'Brien's like, fine! But actually, he's nice to Sisko. He's like, fine. Well, but then he goes Sisko's to look at... He looks at Sisko, he goes, fine. And then he looks at Bashir and goes, fine! I'll be there in an hour. Why is he so stupid about a dumb physical? Why is he being such an asshole about it?
He's
an old hard ass.
He's a relatable everyman.
Look, it's not new to have someone be like, I don't need a physical and be all grumpy about it. But he was a little bit fucking over the top. The second part, he goes...
He's got to wear that... You saw that gown they made him wear?
Maybe he was programmed to resist
what year
physical.
Is it?
Maybe.
And that's why I thought he was a clone, because he passed the physical. One would think they would have figured it out if it was like a replicant or a robot.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. So part two of the physical, he goes, are we nearly finished? I believe you've poked every orifice in my body and created a few new ones. Yes, all of them.
A few new
especially
ones.
Euphoria. Lots of euphoria. Look, if you're determined to keep me here until you find something wrong with me, I'll see if I can't grow you a hangnail. Headache. There you go. In fact, I'm getting a very bad one right now. I'm glad you're enjoying this. It's not doctors I have a problem with. It's you, Julian. And then Julian grabs his balls, tells him to cough, and then asks him about his sex life. Fucking weird. This is what when the funniest,
This is when
O'Brien is like reasonably grumpy. He goes, "This is insane. I haven't had a physical this long since I was born. Look, if I'm dying or something." Good, he's like, "That's it. I'm dying." But see, he's so fucking and he's poor DeCurtis. DeCurtis, he was being
DeCurtis.
I won't go through all the DeCurtis lines, although they're not
is
that
DeCurtis
many.
DeCurtis, the engineer who DeCurtis. Was working for him?
Yeah, he was just like taking orders.
It was
and
like Ensign DeCurtis.
Yeah.
They could have a whole short trek from DeCurtis. It's DeCurtis?
Yeah, what a name.
I was just, it's an interesting name. They should have a whole short trek from his perspective where he's just like having a bad day and all his bosses are just hassling him. And he's like, I don't know what to do. They told me to do this. They told me to break this machine. Cisco
his name is Curtis DeCurtis.
So O'Brien, I will say the...
That's so stupid.
Curtis De La DeCurtis. I will say one line he says, Cisco gave you permission to start this without asking me first? I don't think so.
Yeah, I know.
I had that happen to me in school once, in high school, where I had a bathroom pass, and I was like, I won't go too into the personal details of this, but you can probably figure something out if you want to.
I like figuring stuff out.
The vice principal gave me this like temporary like bathroom pass that I could use over and over again when need be. You can imagine why. And so like I had this thing, and then she was like, just show it to the nurse whenever you need it. It's your automatic pass. You get to. It's a lot of power.
The nurse, you had to go pee in the nurse's office?
No, I had to. Well, wait a minute. Are you trying to get me to divulge information?
No, but you said show it to the nurse.
Yeah, I had to go to the nurse's office.
No, that's fine. It's fine.
But you had to tell the teacher first.
We ain't looking to get into any sort of HIPAA violations.
It wasn't just pee. It was something that required some amount of privacy. So I was allowed to go to the nurse's office.
Jerk off.
Yeah, but I had to do that.
He suffers from an overproduction of semen. So
I thought they were like, you got to let this guy go to the bathroom, or he's going to leave a cup full of pee.
Yeah, that might happen. You never know.
So anyway, somebody didn't believe you.
So that's a lot of power you give to a high school student. I understand, but I went and I showed it to the nurse. She's like, "Look, I've got this permanent pass." And before I finish my sentence, she shakes her head. She goes, "I don't think so." Not even done with my set, she's like, "Nope." You'd wake up pretty early in the morning to get that poo poo in my mouth, like.
That old effort.
That's very frustrating.
So that's what Brian, when he says, "I don't think so," it's like, what do you mean you don't think so? Fucking find out for yourself, motherfucker. Go to the top. When you gonna fucking tell me that I'm lying, fucking go to Cisco then and find out yourself before you accuse me of being a shitty person when all I'm doing is following orders, motherfucker.
I thought that was weird that he was all like, "I don't think so."
Yeah, well, it's like, I just fucking yell at me because I'm doing my job and following orders. Like, find out for yourself, asshole.
It's like, what is this, shitty Starfleet? This is real Starfleet. Really, I'm doing my job.
I think what we've illustrated today, if nothing else, what we've illustrated today is how personal experiences can result in greatly different reactions to media. And I think that's great. I think it's good to be reminded about that when people are always arguing about this. Because we're all coming at Star Trek from a different perspective with different specific things that have happened to us in our lives that inform our thinking. Because when I saw that line, I didn't think one way or the other about it. I was just like, deep. It's weird that he wouldn't be he's a manager. He would expect that he would be in the loop on something.
That dredged up a whole branch of history for
apparently,
me.
Apparently.
Yeah. So
apparently.
The only character he was nice to, not just nice with, it's like Cisco, he showed respect. Odo, he showed respect. The only character he was openly nice to was the fucking computer.
Jake.
Because,
well, Jake, too. He was pretty nice to Jake.
Jake, okay, you're right. It's a good point. But the computer, he was trying
to be nice to Keiko.
When he was talking to the computer.
He was trying to be real nice to her.
Stone cold.
When he was talking to the computer,
he was like, "Let's fuck."
When he was,
I got back from a business trip. Let's fuck.
That was when he was talking to the computer.
The '90s.
He's so unsmooth.
That when he was talking to the computer.
Let's eat some shitty stew and fuck.
He was going back and forth between asking the computer questions and talking to himself. And he goes like, he's like, just ask the computer something. Then he's like, "They'll wait for me to drop out of warp. Well, we'll have to come across that bridge when we come to it, won't we?" He's talking to himself. And then the computer's like, "Please restate question." And you'd expect O'Brien to be like, "Oh, you stupid fucking computer. I wasn't talking to you." But he was like, "Oh, disregard computer." It was like, he was super nice to the computer because he's a robot doctor. That's why he's a robot doctor. He's got good bedside manners with robots.
The robots, yeah.
That's the only character he was openly nice to.
He knows how to, tickle those isolinear rods.
Was it the Rio Grande?
I should say the only adult character because
I can't remember which runabout it
because
was.
Because O'Brien would have to.
Do know it was named after a river.
They're all rivers, yeah.
Okay,
because the other guys were in the Mekong.
Okay, I'll tell you why Jake is exempt from this, because Jake is not an adult, and you'd have to be a real asshole to like be.
If
fucking,
he was an adult, they would have gave him a better.
I bet Worf would be mean to Jake.
Yeah, but that's because of honor or something. I don't know.
Worf's just mean to like kids or something.
Yeah.
You have to be
especially his own kid.
O'Brien doesn't fit into. O'Brien can be grumpy to everyone just as long as you know he's got a good heart and won't be mean to like kids. The only adults he's nice to are computers.
Well, I think it's interesting that you observe all this because it's. I do think it's important and it demonstrates his reaction. What it is his reaction. I think I was paying more attention to the behavior of the crew. And again, I knew what the twist was, but I was really like looking into like, how are they behaving differently because they know this or they suspect that this guy is not the true Miles O'Brien. But you're right. He's reacting. I mean, this whole episode's about his reactions in a sense. So yeah, well done.
Not in a sense.
And then there's the thing with Quark. Now,
Quark!
You wonder how much Quark knows because they're not going to tell Quark anything, but Quark has ways of figuring stuff out. So does he actually know? Or because I mean, because he does have
you
a
never know.
He
that
does
Quark.
Kind of have a he has a funny look on his face, like he doesn't know why O'Brien's being so weird.
I think he doesn't know. I would.
I'm leaning
I'm
that
kind
way.
Of making that assumption
leaning that way. Yeah. But after a couple of watches, I'm leaning that way.
But you're right with Quark. It could go either way. Because he could know and just be like fucking around with the clones.
You can always rely on Quark to, like, when somebody's pissed it off at him, he won't pissed it off at him. Because you can always depend that Quark is not...
on my ball.
You can always depend that Quark's not going to be all offended. He'll just be like, geez, what got up your craw today, you know? Yeah. And so he'll always take it in stride.
Because he was just talking about racquetball, but, like, O'Brien's like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. He goes... Yeah, what is he says like
it's like you and Julian playing racquetball, you don't stand a chance.
What are you talking about, Quark?
He's going to beat you.
Change the subject.
Yeah, cuz Quark right. talks something
change
about like
change the subject.
He's like talking what? About odds or something.
Yeah.
And he like and like he fucking manhandles Quark physically and yeah. Quark instead of being like you fucker, he's just like geez.
And everybody's like looking at him like they're like what's going on?
Yeah. Totally. That's
the clone.
That's Faux Brian for you.
Faux Brian.
Everybody else knows but Quark.
All right. We got any odds and ends as we wrap up this episode?
That was it.
What about that awesome Batman grenade he threw?
That was cool.
That was pretty tight.
Yeah. I do like the improvised devices. Mm-hmm. It's always fun.
I like
again,
the
mooring, very
I like
spy
the mooring
crafty.
Clamps. I like it when they talk about mooring clamps.
I do enjoy when they talk about mooring clamps.
When he was out, when he was trying
and pylons.
Yeah,
pylons.
Yeah, pylons, the upper pylons.
Yeah, and I like when they talk about administrative workaday stuff like we had to move a ship from one pylon.
Yeah,
to another.
Yeah. It, that was a bullion.
It was a
ship.
Pain in the. It was a pain in the ass. The bullion ship was just full of shit.
Yeah.
When he was talking to the computer, trying to sort of tachyon. How do you say what's the verb of tactical? Tacticate?
The verb?
Strategize?
When he was out trying to out strategize.
Maneuver. The verb is maneuver.
Maneuver, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Well, he wasn't quite maneuvering. He's well. Anyway. Yeah.
Yes. It was a tactical maneuver.
He goes. He's telling the computer.
There's tactics and then there's strategy. They're two different things.
He's all like talking about like maintain.
Tactics is how you implement a strategy.
Yeah. So he's all telling the computer. He's like maintain silent running status, and the computer's like confirmed. And then he's like, yeah, where did I go? Now you see me. Now you don't. And he goes, what's it gonna be, fellas? You know what that reminds me of? A little movie called American History X, where Avery Brooks says to the character of Edward Furlong, he goes, what's it gonna be, Danny or Dan?
Furlong
what's it
gonna is
be,
another
Dan?
Measurement of distance.
Yep. There's another measurement of distance.
Miles
it's
and
like
then
an
there's
ancient,
Furlong.
It's an Asian man.
Miles Furlong?
Yeah.
What's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? Whoa. I think that's a connection if there ever was one, which
what's
there probably
it
wasn't.
Gonna be?
All right, that was truly an odd.
It really went nowhere. I didn't even realize that we saw him make that grenade until the second watching. I was like,
yeah,
oh yeah. I was
he's
like, when did
like,
he make that
just,
thing?
He's just kind of doing it.
I like Miles's power book. He was listening to stuff on and
his power book
going through it. Making he was making his log, his little laptop thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, that power book. Yeah, and where it's like they listed all the things and it all scrolled down all slowly.
Okay, that's probably enough for, what is it, whispers. Whispers.
Whispers.
Whispers. So that'll do it for us this week. I don't know what we're talking about next week, but it'll presumably be...
Star Trek.
A thoroughly entertaining topic related to Star Trek.
It's gotta be like Voyager or Enterprise, I guess.
Yeah, we'll do something along those lines.
Todd
Or something else, a movie, or just a surprise wild card episode. Yeah.
Todd Waring played DeCurtis.
Whatever it is.
We're going to talk about Todd Waring.
Tune in. All, yeah, we could whole, do
a whole podcast.
Yeah, we'll just read Todd Waring's IMDb page next week. But whatever it is, it's going to be good. It's going to be super fun. I can promise that's our guarantee.
He played good guy in Oh Boy.
Oh Boy!
Oh Boy!
There was a TV show called Oh Boy.
It was
oh
a TV
boy.
Short.
Short.
He was apparently in an episode of Sliders.
Oh, I thought you were saying Slimers.
Slimers.
I didn't know there was a show called Slimers.
Sorry, we're not reading the IMDb stuff about Todd Waring until next week.
All right, that'll be next week. This is a preview of that. But in the meantime, we provide a week between episodes. That gives you plenty of time. But you listen to the episode. You can evangelize about the. About the show, It's Got Star Trek, that's this podcast. You can evangelize about it to all your friends and family and your coworkers.
Friends and
be
family.
Like, hey, you stupid motherfuckers, to all your friends and family.
Why don't you listen to our podcast?
I was
podcast,
also going to mention, you know, if you go to some sort of a religious institution, you might not use the colorful language that Dan suggested, but, mm-hmm. you know, to tell all your friends and family, all the people
you're interacting with. Just get them ready to what they're about to listen
to. Congregation of sons of bitches.
Like, whatever you're into, spread the word. You can also find us on social media at It's Got Star Trek, and, you know, with the at symbol and all that, on Twitter,
all that
and
stuff.
Instagram, and Facebook, and YouTube.
Pretty much, like, I googled It's Got Star Trek, and, like it was, like, pages and pages of all the different ways you can get to It's Got
Star
Trek.
There you go. Google.
It was something else.
Google. Yeah. What will they think of
all
next?
All the different platforms.
Basically, you type in It's Got Star Trek, you're going to find us wherever you need us. Apple Podcasts and the Spotify and the Stitches and
so
all
you
that,
can't do
all that stuff.
You can't do reviews on iTunes anymore.
You can't do reviews on iTunes anymore?
Well, I thought you said iTunes wasn't something that people
Now it's Apple Podcasts.
Oh.
Yes.
I keep thinking of Apple Pie when you say Apple
It sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Again, personal experiences
we're gonna make
inform our interpretation of things we hear.
Next time we're going to get together, we're going to bake an apple pie and do a podcast.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, we don't have to tell them about that.
It's good.
We could just do
blueberry pie.
We could just do that tomorrow.
You like huckleberry pie?
I like a huckleberry
pie.
Yeah,
I'll do any kind of pie, man.
Raspberry pie.
Raspberry?
Raspberry
I don't think
pie.
You can do a raspberry pie.
You can. It's a little tricky. You got to be a little bit more delicate
like
about it.
A raspberry meringue.
I think
use a different kind of crust.
Blueberries are more
raspberry
consistent.
Custard.
Maybe. Blueberries are a little too much for me.
I love it.
Oh, blueberries. Yeah.
Strawberry
shit,
rhubarb pie.
Blueberry is my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, I ultimately...
My favorite berry. I don't know about pie.
If we're doing a fruit pie, and if we're not going to count key lime pie... I'm a good old standard apple.
I like a
if
pecan,
you can make a, if you
pecan,
make a really good apple pie,
I'm like
I'm really.
I
into
will
that.
Not turn down apple, but like I don't think I've ever been like, oh my god, apple pie! Ah!
Oh no, apple pie is the shit. Dude.
Have you tried the Wegmans apple pie?
I've had delicious.
Have you tried the Costco apple pie?
I've had
pie?
The most delicious apple pie you can imagine, and it's good. I would always rather have like a blueberry pie.
Pecan. I like mincemeat. Like mincemeat.
I like a mincemeat pie.
So both of you guys like apple pie the most.
I'm just like
sometimes
when it's a fruit pie. I like a lot of other fruit
when
pies.
When it's a fruit pie, yeah.
Yeah, I
when it's a fruit pie,
I'm going to enjoy
when
almost every fruit pie.
No, when it is a fruit pie, when
it's like a philosophical. When it is an apple
if you
pie,
had to choose, if you had to have a fruit pie, would it always be apple?
No, but apple pie is often
high up on the list.
High up on the list. Yeah. I like a peach.
Peach pie is good.
I would rather have a peach pie than an apple pie.
What about a peach cobbler?
I would rather have a peach. Sure. We're talking about pies.
If it's peach, yeah, I know,
cobbler.
But I'm
pies
saying
pies with berries
going,
in them.
If
I would
we're
rather
going peach,
have,
I'm probably going
nice.
Cobbler. If we're going pie, I'm probably going
I would
going
rather
apple.
Have
cherry,
a blueberry
with real cherries.
I'd rather
it's
have
great.
A blueberry. I'd rather have a cherry. I'd rather have just about anything over an apple pie.
I like a huckleberry pie.
But apple pie's good.
Huckleberry
pie. All right. That's enough of
what
that
about
nonsense.
A boysenberry?
Strawberry pie is a risk because sometimes strawberries kind of suck.
That's why strawberry rhubarb pie is a better bet.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's why they work
else.
Together. Rhubarb by itself is weird, and strawberries are hit or miss. So yeah. You mix them together with a lot of sugar, and you're good to go.
You can make a strawberry tart. You can make a strawberry cobbler, maybe, but a strawberry pie.
What about a strawberry pop tart?
Okay, yes. That has been It's Got.
Would you rather
pies.
Have an apple pie, homemade apple pie, or a strawberry
next
Pop-Tart?
Week, more Star Trek stuff. We don't know what. Check the social media feeds or whatever.
Pizza rolls.
Or just get surprised, man.
And
my favorite
until
kind
then,
of prize is a surprise.
We hope your life continues to improve. that's a generic thing to say, right?
2022.
Something that somebody
has like,
said.
No matter what level you're at in terms of
we hope it's
life,
getting better.
You want it. We want it to get better.
Because you don't want it, you
unless
don't,
you're a piece of shit. If you're a piece of shit, I kind of hope your life
just
starts going
stay at the bottom.
But like, just have your life stay the same. Like, I hope your life stays exactly the same. That's no fun. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
I mean, even if
that's
you have a good
curse.
Life, you don't want it to get worse. But But you don't, you know, it's never like, that's saying, I hope you have a stagnant existence. I mean, that's like, you know.
Yeah, because I don't want to do that, but I also fear we've walked into some dangerous territory.
Yeah, I
here.
Think we have.
Yeah.
I think so, it's time to end this. I think
we need to be careful. Right, so, okay.
Again, we give you the requisite 1 week between episodes to let you think about all these things.
Sufficient gap.
And so we will talk to you.
Fish and gas? Is that what you said,
sufficient
Jesse?
Sufficient gap.
Self fish and gas?
We'll talk to you at that time in the future, which is next week. God damn it. Good night.
Well, your sense of humor seems normal enough.
I don't have a sense of humor.
Cough. How's the sex life?
I don't have a sense of humor.
Cough. Everything all right in that department?
That department is none of Starfleet's business or yours.